You are listening to
Stop Think Science, a journey through science and technology. This is episode 26, recorded for December 29th, 2015. If you're located on the East Coast, or specifically the Northeast of the United States, you may have noticed that the weather has been a little strange recently. Maybe kind of unseasonably warm? Many areas have been seeing record high temperatures for this time of the year, which is usually assumed to be cold and snowy. So we enlisted the help of an expert.
My name is Sarah Kobelka, and I have a degree in broadcast journalism as well as atmospheric science, which meant that I was on TV for a number of years as a meteorologist.
Great. We have an expert on the line. Now we ask the question, why is it so warm?
There you go. Okay.
Please tell me in 1 minute. I need to know, and I need to know concretely why.
Right now. No. Okay. So here's the mistake people often say. Why is it so warm right now? But they don't say where they are, and they assume that everyone else is experiencing what they're experiencing.
Yeah.
My response is the same reason it's so cold right now in Arizona, and it's because of the jet stream. And so what's happening is the jet stream is kind of taking a nosedive, and so the West Coast is just above the polar jet stream. Mm-hmm. And the Midwest is, well, kind of, it's being cut through right now. So you guys are getting a change in your pattern. You're feeling that colder air starting to move in. But the East Coast is squarely within that warm sector south of the jet stream. And sometimes what happens is that the jet stream kind of gets stuck in a particular setup. And that often will happen when you get a big area of high pressure, because low pressure is kind of like a train car that rides on the railroad tracks of the jet stream. So that low pressure is on that jet stream, and it kind of follows that looping pattern that the jet stream is taking across the northern hemisphere. Then the high pressure can often set up below that and just kind of get entrenched and just sit in one particular location, and you don't get anything pushing it out of that location. And so it forces that jet stream to go either north or south of it. And so that we've been kind of in a stationary pattern with a high pressure center that's just been sitting and sitting and sitting. And it's not our normal setup, of course. The Midwest is used to having a lot of snow right now. And this is all happening in large part because of El Nino, because we've got very different water temperatures in the Pacific Ocean than what we have had in previous years. And so that the temperature of the ocean is also playing a part in why you guys are seeing such warm, record-breaking temperatures and seeing rainstorms, and Texas is seeing tornadoes. It's very abnormal for Texas to have tornadoes in December. So throwing us for a loop. El Nino, French for the Nino.
So El Nino, you mentioned El Nino. There's also La Nina. Those are the only two things it could be, or are those two extremes?
Those are kind of the two extremes of the spectrum.
So it's like a continuum between
those
two?
They're all about the temperatures and the distribution of the warm or cold water in the Pacific Ocean. The Atlantic Ocean isn't as impacted by El Nino as the Pacific Ocean is.
Okay. And that has to just do with it. Does that just have to do with the tilt of the Earth's axis, how much it gets hit by the sun, or does that have to do with air currents too?
I believe that the vast majority of the reason why the Pacific Ocean is more impacted by El Nino than the Atlantic Ocean is its size.
Okay.
And how much more just spanses of just water there are than in, and also it might also have to do with the fact the kind of the north-south setup of it, but I'm not as certain about that.
Well, and
I think it's more about the surface area of water.
There's also the circulation in the Atlantic, correct? There's that the...
Well, there's circulation in both.
Okay.
Yeah, right. There's the currents that are set up are going on in both the Pacific Ocean and the Atlantic Ocean, but the currents themselves run along the plate boundaries So there we go. Now we got geology going on. See, I told you, this is every science field. I can bring it. So they are traveling along the continental plates and the edge of the continents. And so that's a much bigger area to loop around in the Pacific Ocean than it is in the Atlantic Ocean.
Okay. So I don't know if I'm going to open a big can of worms, but is El Nino potentially caused by things such as global warming or climate change?
Not caused by, but the frequency of us having El Nino could be impacted by changes in the climate.
So it's, is it a kind of a normal thing?
Doesn't cause it. Okay. But it could mean it happens more frequently.
Okay. So this is kind of a normal thing to happen in somewhat of a cycle?
There are cycles, yeah, and they're not super well set. And also we haven't had the capacity to gather the information to really look super far back in terms mm-hmm. of El Nino, La Nina, those types of things, just because we just haven't had the equipment, we haven't had the people, we haven't had the big data capacity. So we know a lot more about historic climate because we can drill into the Arctic ice. We can go into look at tree rings. We can use a lot of other resources to find out about historical weather. But El Nino and La Nina, we're talking about the temperatures of the ocean. And so you can find some information about the temperature of the ocean when you're actually looking at the ocean floor and what creatures, ocean creatures were alive at a particular time. But we don't have as much data. So our charts aren't as filled in going backwards.
Okay.
That's my basic understanding. And I'm not, of course, an expert in this realm. There's a number of professors, though, at UW-Madison that I had who could talk more about that if you want to go knock on their door, Greg.
Well, there you have it. There's a reason we didn't have a white Christmas this year. We want to extend special thanks to Sarah Kobilka for helping us out with this episode. Our content and editorial team consisted of Greg Iyer and myself, Ian Armstrong. If you would like to get involved, please send us an email to show@stopthinkscience.com.
Thank you for listening to Stop Think Science. We are glad you could join us. Our success depends on you. Please subscribe to our show on iTunes. And if you're feeling generous, leave us a review. If you have comments or questions about anything that you heard today, don't hesitate to drop us a line at our website, www.stopthinkscience.com.